WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power. Experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism.
That the El Shaddai, the Jehovah Nissi, the Shalom, your peace that passes all understanding and exudes through our very spirit, man. God, as we breathe, as we live, as we have our being, God, you display the bountiful ways of your thoughts and your revelations and your nature through us. I thank you, God, that, Lord, no matter what, you're our calm in the midst of the storms. Yeah. God, you're our bread in the famines. Yeah. You've never left us forsaken, God. You've never caused us to drown, Lord. You reached down and you brought us up and above beyond anything we could have ever asked or think. So, Father, I thank you this morning for an abundance of the rain of your Spirit. Yes. I ask, Lord, that your quickening power, Lord. Yes. It's not by might, God, your word said. The prophet prophesied. It's by, not by your Spirit, but it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. So, God, today we cry out. We cry out, Romans 8:11, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that your word says, dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Yes. God, we ask for a quickening of the anointing. We ask for a quickening of your sound. I ask, God, when men and women leave this place this morning, that their spirit man would be acutely aware of the anointed one that is within them. Hallelujah. That even as Elizabeth was acutely aware of the anointing when she came in contact with Mary and the babe leaped in her womb, I ask our spirit man would leap with expectation. That our spirit man would run in the strength of heaven. And that we'll know the glorious one. The great I am. The King of kings. The Lord of lords. Is doing more in us than we could ever have imagined. So Father, I thank you for the blessings that overcome the righteous. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, hallelujah. We got a lot of Africa here today. I'm South African. So I tell everybody I'm a black albino because nobody can believe I come from Africa and I'm white. You know, it's just the way it is. Tell them I have tribal tattooing. Y'all call them stretch marks in America. But other than that, I'm blessed to overcome. I'm such a blessing that sometimes I just get excited, too excited. I'm just happy. I'm a happy Christian. I really am. You know, there's times that I tell everybody I'm like Superwoman. Every now and then the S will fall off and I'll become like Oopa Woman. But I love the Lord with all my heart. And God expects us to, He knows that we have frailties. He knows that we're in a place of always being discipled by Him. He knows that we're in a place of metamorphosis because He's creating His nature and His abilities and the displays of His thoughts in our spirit man. So when you run by the ways of the wind, it's when you're spirit fed and spirit led, you don't know what's going to happen. Everybody wants to cross the T's and dot the I's and have it all put together. I think that's why God made me the queen of ADD, because I can do all things with the ability Christ Jesus that strengthens me. I'm telling you, I know it. I grew up with 7 brothers and a sister. I grew up in the midst of Africa. There was nothing in our house that wasn't Jesus. Everything was Jesus. I mean, when I never in my life as a little girl with people knocking on doors, with people bound in chains, barking like frogs. And my daddy would just go, in the name of Jesus, come out. And the demons would flee. Amen. And I remember a lady, her name was Mary, and she was kind of not quite right in the head. And one day she come down our neighborhood, come down with her husband's head wrapped in a leash. And she had brought into my daddy a dog leash so he could cast the demons out of him. And she was wearing her bra and panties. And she wanted, and my daddy, it was a big word. When you walk by the things of the Spirit, you don't know what you're going to encounter. Let's just say it that way. And we're in this hour where there's very few. I've been saying this. There's been a dearth in the land. For the word of God spoken with signs and wonders followed. There's been a dearth in the land for the anointed men and women of God that carriers of the glory. The Daniel 11:32 people, the people who know that God will carry out great and mighty exploits. There's been a dearth. Our generation, a generation coming up that has not seen the power of God in manifestation. Only sporadic touches. Only sporadic revivals. But I'm here to tell you that I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Amen. And I believe God is breaking the dearth. Amen. I believe the famine is getting ready. You've been ready to see that even as a lotus flower would blossom in the wilderness, that God is getting ready to blossom men and women of God that have been in their own wildernesses, in their own famines, in their spirit man. Christians that have been waited and wasting away on the vine because there's not been one that would carry the anointing and display the power of God and be there to release the sound into their spirit man. So I'm not your normal cup of tea this morning. I'm going to tell you that. When you grow up like I did, I grew up in the dirt of Africa. We would go into the bush. My daddy would plant a tent. Or if we didn't have a tent, he would rent the town hall. If you didn't have a town hall, we'd just stand out there in the midst of nowhere. And when we didn't have a generator, my daddy would say, Lord, I thank you for my generator. He'd write it on his hand, and a truck would drive by. A generator would fall off the back of the truck, and we'd have a generator. It wasn't about what you had in your hands. It was what you had in your spirit. The Bible says, only believe that all things are possible. Ooh, shabanda bandabi. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, how do you get to that place of developing the ear to hear and the spirit to be moved by the Spirit of God? How do you get in that place? Listen, it's not just about going to church and being a bump in a pew. It's about not just going to being saved and now you're going to die. When you die, you go to heaven. There's more than salvation. It's about the intimacy of the purity of he touched me. And taking that touch into a greater crescendo in your spirit man by appreciating that touch. A lot of Christians get touched by the power of God and they don't appreciate it afterwards. They get to a point where the Spirit of God says, you know, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live and alive by Christ within me. And when they start going through that crucifixion process, where the Lord started to take out the anger and the hurt and the shame and the brokenness and things that you've walked through, the empty marriages, the distraught children that have preyed upon your psyche. But then the Spirit of the Lord just says, just let me touch you. Amen. And if you can remember that touch, I was shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus, he touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And you cuddle in the softness of that child. And it touches your spirit, man. It touches you. Well, the minute you pressed in and you no longer touch the hem of the garment because Jesus has rent the veil, now you touch his heartbeat. Mm. Now you touch his heart. And the minute you touched his spirit, his heart, and you said, Jesus, I need you. Mm. I need you, Lord. And you said, come into my heart. And you invite him into your heart. The Lord embraced you like a brand new baby. And he never forgot your embrace of unadulterated, abandoned love where you surrendered everything. Mm. And you said, Jesus, I love you. And the God that we serve, he came down. He never left. He sent his son that we would have life and have it abundantly. He sent his blessed Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and teach you in all truth. As you called upon his name, I can imagine the display of rejoicing that went on in heaven. I remember a time that one of my relatives, my stepmother-in-law, was passing, getting ready to die. And I knew she was getting ready to die. And she had cancer, and I was very upset because I wanted God to heal her. And I remember going to the Lord and saying, Lord, why don't you heal her? You know, we believe in this healing. Why can't we see the sovereignty of the wonders of the power of the blood in this woman's life? And all of a sudden, I had gone to preach that morning. I was really in prayer. I always pray. And my prayer life is not something that I just shut myself away in a closet. My spirit man is always in a place of perpetual prayer. Mm. I get to call my praises prayer. Mm. Your thoughts should be reigning with glory of the things of God. Mm. And prayer is not just supplication and making a demand on the anointing and making a demand on God. It's about just let the love of Jesus come out of you. Just pray and say thank you. And praise comes. Amen. It all correlates together as one. And it impacts an atomic move of the Spirit for your life. And so I remember I went to lay down in the afternoon right before meeting. And when I went to lay down, I had a vision. And in the vision, in the dream, I had a dream. I was in my neighborhood and I was going from door to door and I had these beautiful flowers. And I was giving everybody these beautiful flowers. Everybody opened the door, I'd give them a flower and I'd give them to the Lord. And I came to this one house. And when the woman opened the door, she was literally covered from head to toe. She didn't want you to touch her. And I went to take her hand, and she said, oh, don't touch me. I have AIDS. And I heard the Spirit of God say through my spirit man, tell her, your God is greater than her AIDS. Amen. And I said, God says to tell you he's greater than your AIDS. Amen. And she started weeping in the stream, and she said, I want to meet this God. I want to meet this God. And I remember taking her hand, and I started saying the sinner's prayer with her, and I started inviting her to ask Jesus into her heart. And as she did that, I saw the heavens above her open. And I saw that there was this great cloud of many men and women of God. And they were scurrying. And there was the most beautiful banqueting table that had been laid out. And they were crying and they were laughing and they were rejoicing and they were sitting at the table and they were saying, oh, a loved one's coming home. A loved one's coming home. And I felt this unadulterated presence of the love of Jesus come down upon this woman who in my spirit I'm thinking she should be healed. But God was saying, I'm calling her home. Wow. He said, I have a purpose for her. It's time she comes home. The Bible says there's a season for everything. There's a season for to be born, to die, the changing of the seasons. I can't explain why some people who are born again really believe God for the miracle that they die before they should. But I can tell you this. I remember here in Kingwood, my best friend, I can't really go down there because the Holy Spirit won't let me. So I'm pulling back out of that whole vein. If you'll excuse me, I'm sorry. The Lord says no. So I have to listen to the voice of God. But I can tell you, there's many times I remember waking up from that bed. And I remember saying, oh, if Carolyn could just see where she's going. If she could just feel this unadulterated love. I'm so excited. I want to run and tell her children. Oh, it's so exciting where she's going. Because they were excited. They were in mourning. But I knew in the spirit, this was a better place. This was a place where you don't have cancer. Where death has no sting. Yes. Where the rejoicing of the Spirit of God is in your life. Where you hear the sound of the glorious one. And then when you think you're walking on the streets of gold, you find out, because I had a friend who died, and he came back, and I said, what did you know about heaven? He said, the greatest thing I noted was, you know those streets of gold, Robin? I said, what about them? He said, there were no streets. It was the glory. We were walking in the glory. It was the light of God. That was the streets. It was his glory. Everywhere it was like we just walked in glory, golden glory, you know? And you think about that. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. But when we depart from this world, just think, Fear has no control over you when you stand before the throne of God. The glory, and I love this, there's one size fits all in heaven. Hallelujah. 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 I thought I'd just throw that in to confuse us in this morning. Of course, my stepmother-in-law died shortly after that. And he took everything within me to go and just yell it from the housetops. If you could only taste and see what I've just seen. That's when my father died, I knew he was in the place that he had always said, it is well with my soul. Mm-hmm. It is well with my soul. Mm-hmm. Because when I traveled with him and now I travel by myself, nobody goes with me except the Holy Ghost, the Father, and some people said, do you travel alone? No, I have a company. I have angelic horses all around. I have a protector. He keeps me, he guides me, he leads me into places that I couldn't have conceived of or thought of in my spirit or in my mind. Because when I land up in these towns and these countries and in divine appointments, I'm like, wow. Wow. Well, I was telling them last night, I think it was last night, or in the night before, I don't know, this is like, I think I'm on my fifth meeting in 4 days, I'm not sure. And actually, it's more than that. I did 3 days before that in Massachusetts with the Russians. And then last Sunday, I did 3 meetings in 1 day in Kentucky, because Kentucky, I live in Louisville, and they're always like, you're never home. When can you come preach? I said, I don't know. And the next thing I knew, I booked 3 meetings. One of them made a meeting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to close their church to come in at 2 instead of 10 o'clock in the morning. And we had a sovereign touch of God. By that night, I was blitzed. I was drunk as a skunk on the floor. I was like, this is good stuff. I need to do this more. You know, you get immersed in the glory all day long. Hook yourself up to the Holy Ghost IV. Watch out, devil. Oh, I mustn't do this. I touch my head and I just want to go out. I was with my friends. Okay, I'll come back. I was with my friend Misha, and we were in Ireland, and I'll never forget, we went in like this. We were driving along singing and anointing, singing in the presence of God and just praising the Lord. And the next thing you knew, the car was enveloped with a cloud. Mm-hmm. And my friend Misha was like, what is it, Robin? What is it? And she's not holding onto the steering wheel. And I'm like, it's the glory. Put your hands back on the steering wheel. Put your hands back on the steering wheel. But if Misha was here today, she would tell you that when I first came to Ireland, Misha was very weak in her body. She had been paralyzed. She had gone through a lot. She had a lot of infirmities. She had had several strokes. She had a lot of stuff happen. She had believed God for herself to come out of the wheelchair. And when I got there, she was still in a place of never had been. She's been traveling with me for the last several years. And she is moving in the prophetic. God is touching her life. She's now helping her husband with a church over there, pastoring them. They're not even the pastors. They just say they're the overseers. And God just really uses, she's always under an attack, because how many know, when you're on the forefront of the anointing of the things of God, the devil wants to take you out. He has an assignment to bring you down, because he doesn't want the generals that know the power of the blood of the Lamb, the people that know their God, the ones that carry the glorious covenant of what the blood of Jesus means to their lives, their inheritance anointing. He doesn't want them to move forward. He wants to keep you in a place of stagnation. But let me tell you something. The Bible says this in Joel 2:50. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep before the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. We're in an hour right now, folks. Mm-hmm. Where I'm crying out, God, spare the nation. Mm-hmm. Spare the nations. We need men and women of God who know the vortex of the power of prayer. The minute you step in the heavens with your voice, you activate the anointing of God. The minute you step in the heavens with your voice, you say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. You recognize that everything within you is about Jesus. Everything I do is Jesus. And so it goes on to say this, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. I don't want the heathen ruling over this nation anymore. I want to see a sovereign move of God. I don't care what they say and who's going to do this and who's going to do that
and what's happening here and what cults on the land. Let me tell you something. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Through the nations, if you look through centuries, they've come in with the Danes, they've come in with the Druids, they've come in with the Vikings, they've come in with the Romans, they've come in with all their false gods, but they could not put out the name that is above every name, Jesus. He's alive today as he was then, and he is doing a work. But it takes somebody that's willing to open their spirit and say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, create in me that which you would have me to be. Make me, mold me. Lord, you are the potter. I am the clay. Lord, I let go of everything around me. I don't care about stuff. I want who you are. I want to be a display of your nature. I want your word that when I walk in the place, the demons have a nervous breakdown. And they recognize she is full of the glorious power of the blood of the Lamb. She knows her governing authority that God has given her through the blood. You've been given authority. Am I yelling too much?
No.
Should I slow down?
No.
Or should I die? Jesus gave you a promise in John 14:12. The works that I do, he declared, shall you also do. And greater works than these shall you do. I love it. I love it. I stand amazed all the time. But all the time, let me tell you what happens. There's a war in the realms of the spirit. The enemy knows your frailties. He knows your imperfections. He knows the weaknesses. He knows how to press your buttons. He knows how to try and regurgitate your past. Your hurts, your shame. Surely the presence of the Lord is always at work in your man. God is doing something. He's able. I remember when God said to me, I want you to quit your job and go to the nations. I don't want to go to the nations. I remember when this weird prophet came to our church. The weirdest man I'd ever seen. He was like a Mexican jumping bean. He never stopped. It was like he had a nervous twitch from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Talk about ADD. There was ADD in a Ferrari. And as I remember, he came to our church. And here I was. I had been in anointing all my life. Had been around the power of the blood. Had seen blind eyes open, deaf ears hear. Had seen the manifested power of God and manifestation so many times. In America, not just Africa. I think it was in West Virginia in the mountains that I watched a baby one night with club feet, 7 months old. The feet just changed. God totally miraculously healed it. You know, and I remember asking God, I would say, God, I don't understand. Why in Africa do they come out so easy? But when I come to America, you don't see the miraculous like we do over there. And he said, because in Africa, they know there's a devil. Yeah. They call it the Tokolosi.
Yeah.
In America, they don't know there's a devil. They call it schizophrenia. They call it depression. They call it cancer. They call it nervousness. They call it anxiety. They call it everything but what it is. Suicide, they call it. But I tell you, it's a spirit, and it has to go. And we need to get back to the basics of the blood of Jesus, and we need to quit mentioning these things that they label, and we need to speak to the root of it and say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. It's not by might. It's not by power. His spirit is already made away. The stone has rolled away. He is risen. He took away your keys. You have no authority. You have no power.
Amen.
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 No authority. Ooh, Shabanda Basianda. In the olden days, the prophets would urge the priests. I don't know about the priests, because some of the stories I've read about the priests from Eli down, I was worried. But not only did they urge prayer, but they themselves prayed. The prophets, the men of God, true men and women of God, would say, and I've been saying this all the time I've been in Texas this week. The Lord has been speaking, because I feel like there's a volatile, and I want to say it in a good way, a volatile force of believers here. Mm-hmm. They have the righteous of the anger, mm-hmm. the good stuff. I'm not talking bad anger. I'm talking righteous tenacity. That we're not quitting.
Amen.
A prayer force. I believe there's a prayer force.
Amen.
It's like this place is, you know, you talk about the oil coming out of you. There's a Holy Ghost anointing of prayer that influenced the covenant and what goes on in the surroundings and in the nation.
Amen.
There's something about, and don't tell me it's in Washington, because I'm telling you, it's here. It's here. And I'm just not saying that to tickle your ears. I'm here to say it prophetically. God has shown me it's like a spring, a gusher that comes out of the center of this town, of this state. And then out of it, there are men and women of God that are willing to pray, to supplicate, to travail, to bow down, to quit everything that they would quit, and to do things that are cutting edge, that would step and demonstrate the power of God. Doesn't matter, you know what, when Joel Osteen became pastor of that church, I loved it because you know what the Lord said to me? No longer a centurion in the house of the Lord, but now a general to lead this next generation on. And I know people all got so much they say, but let me tell you something. There's a lot of eyes of the world that's on this state because of Joel Osteen. And there's a lot of people that's got saved because nobody knows what he goes through. And he's not perfect. He's being perfected. Every one of us are being perfected. So we don't have rights to throw stones. Right. You better turn your eye and you pray. That's right. If I remember saying to my dad one time, I walked with him and he was a man of God's house. I thought he was a man of God. And it wasn't his house, it was at a meeting. My father went in there just to tell him, thus saith the Lord. You're in sin. You're in this, you're in that. Told him what was going to happen to him. And man, everything. He said, you're going to go to jail. The man moved in such incredible divine healing. And I remember going in the car and saying, Daddy, I can't believe. How can he still heal people? How can he move like that? And my father rebuked me. He said, don't you ever touch God's anointed. Unless the Spirit of God tells you. He said, God gave him those gifts. When he started out, he was pure. He cried out for the anointing. He cried out for the gifts. But what he's done between A and Z, when he stands before the throne room of God, he's going to give an account. God never takes the gifts back.
Amen. That's right.
We've got so many people in the body of Christ that's offended at God. Won't go to church because some man did something or somebody spoke this. You need to get a grip on reality. And you need to ask God, where do you want me to be planted that I can be, even if nobody knows your name or knows your face, that you are there to sound the alarm. To speak a trumpet sound into the atmosphere. To bring a breaker anointing because you have faith. You have the unction. You understand that this thing that goes on in the natural is not God. And God is planting you there. God put Paul in jail to bring forth a sound.
Yes.
I'm yelling. I'm sorry. I'm going to church God. I'm sorry. And the Bible said that Jacob travailed until he broke through.
That's right.
And I keep coming back to this. I see it in the Spirit because I have the eye of the Spirit. I see travail here. I see birthings all over this place. All over the state. But I see it's overflowing now. I feel like I see this beautiful, pure ravine of water, springs. But I feel like it's overflowing. And God's cleansing through the words of men and women of God. He's cleansing the land because you've cried out, Lord, we fear you. Lord, have mercy. Lord, come. We need you, God. You can't just be, you can't just be a Christian. There's more than salvation. And I've been going, the Lord gave me a word this week. I was thrown by the word. I was absolutely thrown by it. Normally, people don't prophesy of me. Very few. When they do, it's a lot of snap, crack, and pop, and so I just let it go, and hallelujah, Shabunda. But this week, just a little incident stirred me. When a true word of God is spoken to you, it will cause your spirit man to rise up with expectation. The prophets of old were led with expectation, the true ones.
That's right.
Because that's why I said this the other day. That's why the prophet, when he went up into the mountain, he was expectant for the rain. When he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, he was expectant for it. He believed something was getting ready. That's why he was in travail. He travailed till he saw the breakthrough. He travailed in intercession. He travailed because look what happened. He said, his servant, you go see. Go see. Come back and tell me. What do you see? And the servant came back and see nothing. That prophet travailed. You've got to keep travailing. The word of the Lord I give you this day. To travail till you see the breakthrough in the land. To travail out of your spirit to cry out. To cry out for a mighty move of the glory. To see the winning hand of God with a sight. To come in and to bring forth the sheaves. And to bring in the souls. And to break the chains that have been fetters upon people's hearts. And to break the veils that have been as of a guiding spirit upon people's mind. The word of the Lord, I believe there's a company of believers in this place that God has endued you, infused you with an anointing and understanding of what it is to stand, to speak the word of the Lord, and to declare it's done in Jesus' name. I'm asking you to travail till breakthrough comes. Hallelujah. Why am I yelling? Well, thank you, Lord. Oh, my dad had a rosh abanda bosvi. I gotta be good. God wants you to enter into an understanding of your power. He has for you. But there's a separation. You're gonna find out that not everybody's gonna pray like you. Not everybody's going to sing in the spirit like you sing. Everybody's different. That's why we have different personalities. Jesus loves our personalities. He calls you peculiar people. He says in Malachi 3:16, those that fear the Lord talk often of the Lord, and the Lord listens. He listens. I've been in the car, and I remember one time my little daughter at the time, she's giving me headaches today because that's the way it is. But it's my little daughter at the time when she was little, she said something. She said, she came in the car, she had gone to kindergarten, she said, I got saved today, Mommy. I asked Jesus in my heart. And I was in sin, honey. I was going to church, I had my Capri's 120s. I had it all going on. That was my major sin, so bad stuff. I knew nothing else to smoke, I thought it was... Well, they told you me you'd lose weight, it doesn't work. And I smoked those things, it did not work. If anything, I couldn't breathe. If I get drunk in the Holy Ghost, I got a border there that's just neutral. Okay? And so you can turn my phone over, Carolyn. That's okay. Just turn it over in case my daughter's writing nasty notes right now. Shabanda Bundabi, I tell you, I feel the anointing. Because I carry the anointing. I always feel it. I know the anointing. But I remember she got in the car and she said, Mommy, I asked Jesus into my heart today. I'm going to heaven. And I remember looking at her going, that's lovely, Amber. And she said, I'm going to miss you. The next day she got in the car and here I am just doing my normal do. And she says, Mommy, I'm sitting on an angel's lap. Oh. And I said, really? Who else is in this car? And she said, Jesus is sitting right next to me.
Oh.
And then, of course, I was like, putting out the cigarette, you know. Because I knew, you know. We had to go to church. Our church, because my husband was on staff, and we didn't go, we'd get fired. And we had a big one, you know. But I wasn't living right. I wasn't, Carolyn, I was a mess. I was just a mess. But here comes this jittery prophet. I didn't forget that story. And he came in, he was like a jumping bean. And he comes in, and my husband was sitting there, and here I'm running from the call of God in my life. I did not want to go in the ministry. Did not have been around the ministry, picked up the hoozoo from the religious zoo, and I was just, Jesus, I'm going to be that prophet, like that prophet that was in the cave, that just got out, I'm going to intercede, I'm going to pray, that's my life. And so this prophet comes in, and he says, Robert, my husband's filming, my husband's a Christian television producer, he's passed away now. He got killed. I didn't kill him. That's the burden of all of that. And so he's with Jesus. He's happy. Left me his mother and father with all the bills. Anyway, so some of you can relate, I'm sure. But the whole thing was this, my husband was filming, and out of nowhere this man, the short man from Virginia Beach, says, Robin, who's Robin? God's speaking a woman's name to you. Your name's Robin. My husband's like, my wife's name's Robin. Really? Where is she? Go get her. I was in the bookstore. I hid in the Christian bookstore. I didn't go to church. I stayed in the bookstore. I never was in the meetings. I stayed in there. I need to rotate those people in those bookstores. So I was in the bookstore. My husband comes in and says, Rob, there's this man here. And he called me by name and he wants to see you. At that time, there weren't that many prophets that I knew. I knew my dad was a prophet. My dad prophesied the 700 Club to Pat Robinson. He was the in-house prophet for the 700 Club. My dad planted over 66 missions, African faith missions in South Africa. My dad was a great man of God. His name was Robin Tom. He wrote a book called The New Wine Is Better. You can download it over my website. And that's the way it was. It was I knew, because when daddy said God was going to do it, it happened. It didn't matter where we were. We walked in, we landed in countries with nothing, no money, nothing. And God would send people to us. God always sent them to us. The righteous are overcome by the blessings of the Lord. And so, to make a long story longer, he says to me, let's go into the hospitality room, this prophet does. So I go in the hospitality room, and I'll never forget, my intern was like Dodie Osteen, except in a different realm.
And Fern would get her hair permed so tight you thought she had a facelift. Every Thursday she got her hair permed. She was the queen of our church. My Uncle Wayne and my family is W.R. Rogers. Bob Rogers is the pastor of Evangelical Prayer Center. We have a church of like 9,000 if you count the dead in Louisville. And so, to make a long story long, Aunt Fern's sitting there putting her eyeliner or her lip liner on her lips and making the whole look. I don't know how she used mink oil on her face. She had the shiniest face. I told Aunt Fern, just use glycerin. Just use Vaseline. It'll work. But Aunt Fern had another plan. So Aunt Fern could take a cup of coffee and she could turn it upside down 2 seconds flat and make it phenomenal coffee. She could take oatmeal and make it in the best food you ever tasted. I mean, Uncle Wayne would knock on the front door, and there Aunt Fern would be in her little chiffon slippers and a little chiffon gown, and clothed nicely, and her hair done, and he'd come in with 40 deacons to have breakfast, and she never budged an eye. But when he walked out that door, she would go in the room, and she would weep and cry and pray before the Lord, because she would listen to what they talked about the business and what was happening in the church and this person and that. And then she never stopped serving just those people. She went before the Lord and she started crying out and interceding for that which her husband was having to carry through that church. And so she was phenomenal. She taught me how to be a lady, believe it or not. I was like a broken arrow when she got me. She said I was like a broken baby. She said I didn't know how to receive a hug. Because my mama died at 14, and I was so used to being so strong, and nobody could come near me. I was like a wild animal. I was like I came out of the Jungle Book. That was basically it. But when my Aunt Fern got a hold of me, she taught me the purity of what it was to use honey when you speak about people. To just, don't worry, it's going to be okay. Just keep calm and to pray. And so this was my Aunt Fern, and this prophet comes in. Here I was in a place where I was in defeat. I was in brokenness, going to church, and I was so lonely, and I was so lonely in this marriage, and I was so broken, and I didn't know what to do. And what happened was, this prophet says, in this room, he says to Fern, and Fern, you need to leave. Well, I'd always heard you never go alone in a room with a man. But he said, Fern, you need to leave. And she went out of the hospitality, he shut the door. And he said, yes, Lord. And he got real quiet. And he said, really, Lord? Well, I didn't know that about her, but I will tell her. And I got real spooked. Because I hadn't been, back then, you hadn't heard all these prophets. All of a sudden, now we've got prophets like maggots that come out of everywhere. You know? Half of them are prophetless. I'm telling you that right now. They're prophelying. You better discern the spirit. But he said this. He said, Robert, the Lord is speaking to me. And your father is standing next to the Lord right now. And I was like, my dad's dead. Don't be talking about the dead. And he said, I heard the Lord say to me, your father's not dead, he's alive with me. And he said, your father has been interceding. And your father, the Lord says, your father has reminded him that when he wanted a child, the 9th child died and it was a girl. And your father said, God, give me a 10th child and I'll give it as a tithe for this last day and hour. And he said, Robin, the Lord said that you're going to quit your job. You're getting ready to move. You're getting ready to go out into the nation. He said, you're not going to run anymore. God says your life is not your own, that he had destined you from your mother's womb, that you're getting ready to go forth in the might and power of the name of Jesus. Robin, the Lord says, and he started prophesying. Do you know that would scare the bejesus out of you? But when he said it, I knew there was a peace that came on me. There was a rest because I knew what this man was saying. Nobody knew there was a 9th child. Nobody knew it had died. Nobody knew anything that he was saying. And he was hearing from the Lord. And I want to get around people that know how to travail and know how to pray and know how to hear from God. Because those are the people that your life is never the same.
Yes.
You want to get around people who you know have been spirit-fed and spirit-led. And then maybe they, and then you take it to your churches. You know, like we're meeting here this morning. This is a body of believers. It's like Lydia meeting on the edge of the city, company of believers. And when the teachers came, when the disciples came, Carolyn's like Lydia. She's still open to hear and say, Lydia, though she was saved, she said, you know, she said to the disciple, you've come in here and taught me things I didn't know. We're always open for fresh work, for fresh impartation. For fresh revelation. You know what I mean? Is this okay with the Lord? There's chairs up here, folks. There's two chairs up here. We can move stuff.
Right up there.
Yeah, we have a chair.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going somewhere. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. There's another chair here. Hallelujah.
Give me the...
Thank you.
Jesus.
We have two chairs.
I want everybody in this place just to grab the hand of the person next. Just right now, just want you to take the hand. By the Spirit, God's going to start speaking. I'm not asking you to prophesy. Nobody's going to prophesy over you, God. But I want you, God, just, Lord, I ask, thank you right now. That God, you just pour into their hearts what they need to pray for the person next to them. And God, for the next few minutes, we're just going to intercede by your Spirit as you would endue us, as you would reveal to us. As you would cause us to travail. We just cry out right now. Father, we lift up the person to the wife. We lift up the person to the land. We cry out for divine intervention. We cry out for the quickening power of heaven to touch their spirit man. Jesus' name. Wonderful thing about men and women of God when they pray. True men and women of God that God has called in this hour to alert, to awaken, to speak forth the pureness of heaven and not just words that would be something that must be said. God always has a man, he always has a woman, he always has somebody or company of believers that he brings forth out of the catacombs of the dearth of darkness of the ladies of the lands. And he brings him into a place of fasting, he brings him into a place of supplication, he brings him into a place to demonstrate his anointing, his power. No matter how frail their lives, if you look at Samson, he had worst, he had went through worst. Oh, affliction than many. But yet God had placed his hand on him. He never removed his hand from him. But Samson removed himself by allowing that which was not of me, says the Lord, to come. But yet he turned his eyes, even in darkness, back unto me. He turned his eyes and he trusted me. And I strengthened him and he destroyed the yokes and the works of a nation. For there is those in this house that they would be weak and they have run there and they have run here and they have lost their vision and they walk not by the ways of the Spirit. But is my arm shortened that I cannot bring them back to that place to taste and see that I have never left them? For even my word says that I will bring the blind by the way they know not. I will cause uneven paths to be made clean. For none shall be forsaken. For the Lord says it's an hour when I'm looking. I'm looking for those that have cried out, that have been in a place where, well, Lord, I missed it. If I hadn't had done it this way, and if I hadn't done that, the Lord says, look not back, but look forward. Look to the heavens from whence cometh thy help. For it's now where I have you in my being. It's now where I hold you in my hand. It's now where I'm creating the displays, and I'm skilling you in my words and my ways. So the Lord says, think it not strange the fiery trials you've walked through. Think it not strange the weaknesses you felt and the brokenness you've had. But the Lord says, I've held you and I've wept over you even in the darkness when you allowed your flesh to control. But the Lord says, then you called my name. And have I not come? Am I not your deliverer? Have I not sought the men and women that would say, a Lord, awaken this nation. A Lord, awaken this generation. A Lord, let there be a great awakening throughout the land. And great and mighty shall be the purposes of those. For their purpose is me. Their purpose is my heart. To see the captives set free. Wonderful. Wonderful, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says, and Daniel says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy hill of God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a former vision, being caused to fly swiftly, came near to me and touched me about the time of the evening sacrifice in Daniel 8:16. And he instructed me and he made me understand. And he talked with me and he said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and wisdom and understanding. At the beginning of your prayers, the word given an answer went forth. And I've come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. Every one of you, when you get in that place, Jesus. 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 All the time, now we have the Holy Spirit. We don't need an angel. Got the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus. But you got the Holy Spirit. Where it says in Romans 8:26-27, when you don't know how to pray, when you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit goes before the throne of God, and the utter groanings too deep for you to utter. The Amplified says, and he who knows what's in the hearts of men knows what's in the mind of the Holy Spirit, because everything he gives to the Holy Spirit is in harmony with his will for your life. Mm-hmm. He's your counselor, he's your teacher. Amen. You're not alone. There's a song I sing, because I don't have a thing here, a sound thing, but it goes, when I walk through deep waters, I know that you will be with me. In the valley of the shadow, I will not fear. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. This part of it says, you're amazing. You're amazing. You're amazing, God. In the midst of deep waters, he's there with you. I'm in the ministry. I've been in the ministry almost 20 years now. I've been in the ministry since I was 10 days old, but I've been on my own in the ministry. And I've learned one thing about the ministry. There's going to be many perplexities. There's going to be many storms that try to rise up around you and against you. There's going to be things you're going to lose, friends. You're going to gain, friends. You're going to see people just one time and you keep moving. And it can be a lonely walk. Mm-hmm. But I know by the Spirit, I'm not alone. And I know it's worth it all. Recently, I shared this. I'm going to share it. I guess the Lord let me. Several years ago, I've been crying out. In my spirit has been expecting for a holiness revival. I believe the only thing that can save our nation is people getting back to the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
And a holiness move of God.
Amen.
And over 8 years ago, I was coming out of Argentina. And as I was coming out of Argentina, all hell was breaking loose. I was getting ready to lose friends that I really loved, had been friends forever. God was just changing things. He was taking me out of a comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it at the time. I thought, God, you don't realize it when you're going through the rocky waters. You don't realize it's okay. God's going to turn it for good. God is turning. You can preach it. But when it comes on you, it's like, oh, dear Jesus, It's like you forgot what you taught, And you find out that it's just you and God. When my husband died, I had all these thousands and millions of people, 1,200 people showed up at his funeral. But when they left, I was left alone in the room at my house. For 3 months, I went into a great depression, But God was not, he didn't leave me. And when I cried out, God, I need you, and even my pastor, Rodney, called me and said, Robert, God would never want you like this, and your husband would never want you like this. You need to come out of this. I was in depression. And it was a friend, a dear friend, who wasn't afraid to speak her mind.
Yeah.
And she came out and she said, Robin, you need to come over and pray. 4 o'clock in the morning, she called me to come pray. I was like, who calls somebody at 4 o'clock in the morning? What kind of a friend is that? I don't want to pray. I didn't feel like speaking in tongues. You know why? Because when you get out of the presence of God, you're going to find hell. When you walk away from the covenant of spending time with Jesus, I don't care if it's just one day. If you're not in his presence, you'll find that things are shaking you. The enemy knows when you've let your guard down. And I was in a place I didn't want to know anybody, I didn't want to see anybody. And the next thing I know, this friend called me and she said, come here. And I said, I'm not coming. She said, come. I said, where am I coming to? She said, come to the chapel, you're going to pray. I'm not coming to the chapel, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, you crazy? She said, Robin, are you asleep? I said, no, I've been up. I couldn't sleep. And she said, come. When I got there, she had an army. She had three other women I knew who had a hikama shine shandaha. And when I walked in, the first thing I said, don't expect me to prophesy. That's the words I said. Don't expect me to teach. I don't want to say nothing about God. You pray, go ahead and pray. And I sat down in the pew. Like, I was so mad. I was so depressed. I was just out of it. I didn't realize what was on me. It was not a normal depression. It was a spirit. It was an unnatural grief. It was condemnation. It was offense because of things that had happened with my husband and I. Everything that was bad seemed to become magnified, Nothing good was coming out of our good time. We had great times together, The best times were when I anointed the house with oil and he couldn't get in for 3 days. But at the same time, the minute she opened her mouth and started praying, something broke in me. It was like my water broke. It was like my water broke and I went into travail. And when I went into that travail, I forgot all about my husband and what had happened. I forgot all I wanted to do was prophesy over somebody. It was like I wanted to tell him everything he's real. I wanted to break their yoke. I wanted to break their water. I wanted them to see that they don't have to be bound in defeat and depression and grief. But God has a plan, and that this thing that the enemy thought he could do for bad, God's going to turn it for good. There's people in this place this morning. The enemy's trying to lie to this lady over here in the back here with a scarf on. You've been through so much, and you've gone through a season right now of just drought. But God's got his hand on you, and God's not forgotten you. And God's carrying you right now. You've been carried, but you don't feel carried because you feel so alone at times. But I see the hand of God just moving into your very innermost being. God's going to heal the betrayal. God's going to heal the betrayal. I believe there was a betrayal, if that makes any sense to you. God's going to heal the betrayal, okay? And you're going to be okay. You're going to make it. You got breath in your body. If you've got kids, you've got to pray for them. You're going to give the devil a black eye and say, hey, you thought this is where you was your best shot? Was this all you can bring at me today? Watch what I'm going to do by the Spirit of God. Because I'm like that. I'm a fighter. You know, I'm a fighter. I'm like, is this all you got, devil? Is there nothing better? You know, I'm like that. These men come and fight with me. Well, you need it. You need it. You need it. You're a woman. You should sit down and not say nothing. I said, really? How many souls have you won? What's your fruit? Well, you don't know the submission word. No, I don't believe in the S word.
Submission to God.
Submission to God, not to anybody. We won't go there. Otherwise, people will be stirred up with a man-hating spirit in this place, and I don't know that. But I broke through that night, and then I went into full-fledged travail. Travail. And ever since then, I've never looked back. My mother-in-law said to me, I love my mother-in-law, but it was amazing, the people's doubts. They feed you with these words. Yeah. How are you going to make it, Robin? Now, you know I'm on a limited income, and I can't help you. And I'm like, oh, my God. Where were you the last 5 years I've been carrying this family by the Spirit of God? Your son's been working for me. How do you know? Where have you been? We've never gone without. It's been supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You know? My husband would call me after he got through his moment of why her God and not me. And I said, you just have a different anointing, Glenn. You're a teacher. And he would call me, and I would tell him what was going on in the meetings, and he would cry, and he would say, it's just like your daddy's book. It's just like your daddy's. Just call him with the miraculous. And a more shabbat. I'm leaving for Ireland in a week. And you know, everything in me, there's something in the harvest field all around me. God has told me to center on this nation right now. But to come back to Argentina, I was just coming out of Argentina about 8 years ago, and I heard a sound. The Lord said, what do you hear? And I said, I hear bells. And he said, what do bells do? And I said, bells tell a time. Bells tell an event. Bells tell a wedding. Bells tell. And he said, read Zechariah 14:20. And I went to Zechariah 14:20, and it says, for on that day, holiness to the Lord will be inscribed upon the bells of the horses. And I could just, all of a sudden, I was envisioning this army of horses coming across the heavens. And I started envisioning God storming the nation with a move of his Spirit of holiness. And I wanted it to happen right then and there. I thought it was going to happen right then and there. I've grown up since then. You know, we get these things, we think it's going to happen now. And it says, holiness to the Lord will be inscribed upon the bells of the horses, and the children of Israel, which I typify as the church, that's what we typify, shall come and partake from the altars that have been made sacred before the Lord, where he's cleansed the altar. And our altars have been pure, need to be purified. A lot of the churches need to be pure. They've watered down the word. They've removed scriptures out of the word just to placate the people and tickle people's ears and to pay their light bill. Who cares? Who cares? And so, when I saw this, the Lord says, the altars are going to be purified. I said, it seemed like everything went worse. It's like all hell broke loose, you know? And he said to me, there's been a spirit of beguilement that has come upon the land. And he said, I'm going to give the people, the nation, the desires of their heart, but it will not be my desire, and I will let them flow in it and run in it for seasons. But when it's done, he said, you watch what's going to happen. And I believe now we're entering into that dispensation, because again, 3 weeks ago, God woke me up, and he said, Robin, read Zechariah 14:20 again. And when I read it, and the altars would be made pure before the throne of God, that there's coming a holiness from God, he said, what does 21 say? And 21 says this. It says, and there'll be no more Canaanites in the land. You know what that means? So the Lord said to me, go study Canaanites. Now I'm like, I don't study very much. Everything I give to me is the Holy Ghost. I mean, I read the Bible and my spirit man runs with stuff. I don't know. I know it's that God gives me stuff while I'm sleeping all the time. And I've been through Bible school, so it's like I study, but not like you all would study. It's just different with me. It's like I go on a journey that's phenomenal. I go to other countries. I travel here. Anyway, by the Spirit, there's God that sends me. So, the Lord said to me, what is the Canaanites? The Canaanites were the first country that came against the children of Israel. That took them into captivity. This is a season, the first time we've ever seen our nation come against Israel. And it hasn't been the people, but there's been a thing against Israel. But, my God.
Yes.
The Canaanites were the lowlife. They were into perverse sexual perversions. They were into the worst stuff. And the Lord started speaking to me. And he said, tell them the Canaanites are coming out. I'm rooting the Canaanites out of the land. There's coming a cleansing in the land. There's not going to be a dearth anymore. There's coming a move of the Spirit of God. And it's already begun. I really believe we are. And when you tell me, if you want to know about holiness, are you ready for that?
Yes.
Because that means you're going to have to lay down some stuff. That means it's going to require you, all of you.
Yes.
More of him, less of you.
Yeah.
That means it's going to require your time. If you're spending in his presence, there's going to be things he's going to require you to do, and you may not want. That's why I was like, I'm just the prophet that loves to just come in, feel the atmosphere, and speak what needs to be spoken in the atmosphere, and do it diplomatically and nicely. Glory, hallelujah. Until this week, I was at home, I went home, and my daughter, I washed my clothes, but my daughter took my clothes and put them all in the dryer. Well, let me say my grandson had a lot of crayons in his pocket. So all my clothes were destroyed. They were absolutely, I'm not kidding you, my clothes, because I got two suitcases, and anyway, so I've given a lot away and all my clothes were destroyed. So needless to say, I didn't feel remorse. I was stuffed, it's stuffed, so I put it in the garbage. I went to Lane Bryant to thank God that he had invented it. And I got myself two shirts. That's what I'm wearing, you know. Hallelujah. And this, I had beautiful shirts like this. They're all gone. I had ones down on my feet. They're gone. But it doesn't matter. Because I have a heavenly cloak. Glory.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it, honey. If God had his way, we'd all be butt naked right now. We wouldn't have to worry about TSA. I'll be honest.
Very glory. Very glory.
So what happened was, I go to Susan DeBales, and this woman comes in. She lives in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm in the back room. I went into the back room because the meeting had been immense. The anointing was so strong. And I want to bask in it. Because a lot of time you get into a meeting and everybody wants to suck the life out of you. It's not that being rude saying that. I'm just saying everybody wants to come talk to you. Let's not use the word suck the life out of you. But they want to talk to you. And people will kill you because they're so hungry. I'm the same way, honey. I was the same way when I was running. I mean, I was like John Arnott's feet, Kilpatrick's feet, Rodney Hadbrown's feet. I wanted their anointing. Pray for me, put your hand on me. I got the line 10 times, you know. I was like a Holy Ghost glutton, you know. But the whole thing was this. I walked in, I go in the room, and I'm sitting there in this. I'm not going to tell you Susan shopped at Target, but she did. And she sat in this little Target chair. But listen, that's okay. We need to shop at Target because we can lead people to the Lord in Target. I don't believe in boycott. I believe you go in and take the land by force. I do. I go in, I speak Jesus in Starbucks. Hallelujah! Glory! Anyway, you had to be there. I go to Disney World. Praise Jesus! Anyway, so I've won more people to the Lord at Disney World than anybody. I mean, they used to boycott it because of their views on things. I'm like, get a grip. But let me get back to what I'm saying. This woman comes in the back room. She says, I see you. And I don't understand. She's not there. She could probably tell it better because I was pretty out of it. She has, you have one crayon. And you walk into these meetings with like this one crayon. So
she said, there's a box of different color crayons. But when you go to different meetings, you pick the exact right color of crayon.
For that meeting.
For that meeting.
And it would melt in a teaspoon and you would feed it to the people. Mm-hmm. But she said, but now, tell them the rest.
Okay. But now God is going to use you not just to, like, she didn't say you had a man-pleasing spirit or anything like that. But
no.
She says, like, you know how all the different meetings run, and you're, like, real careful not to offend.
Yeah.
And so you pick the right color, but now it's not going to be like that.
So all the crayons melted together.
All the crayons together.
They just done that with one of my clothes. And the reason I'm telling you is how, and in fact, I was going to start stirring the waters, basically, which I really stir for some people, but that's okay. But it was a God word. It was something I needed to hear because I knew... I've known in my spirit that God was getting ready to enter me into a place that I didn't want to be in the natural. But I knew it was to tell people, look, you've got sin in your life, you need to get rid of it.
Yeah, right.
You need to, and I've been more bolder. When I asked Pastor Rodney Brown to pray for me 20 years ago, can you pray for me in a boldness? He said, are you crazy? You don't need any more boldness. But I just want to tell you, we're in a move of the Spirit. You know, I looked for you back there. You weren't there. But I saw you, and I saw you try. You were up. You were going up a mountain. And I saw you walking up this mountain. But I saw that the ground beneath you changed. That the mountain was no longer just dust. It wasn't a struggle. It wasn't like wet mud. That all of a sudden, God loosed you to run. And I saw you start running. You ran. And I saw you throw this like you threw out a mantle, and you threw it over cities, and you threw it over places that God took you into. And I saw it's like when the prophet parted the waters, when Elisha parted the waters with the mantle of Elijah. God says that you're carrying a mantle that's beyond anything you can even ask, and you're in a place of spiritual increase right now. And God says you're not going to just walk, you're going to run now. You're going to run around the nations. And I saw you running across cities. I saw you going into other countries. I saw you even, I don't know why South America comes in my spirit, but I saw you going by the wing. And so I'm just telling you, get ready, okay? Get ready. So just prepare yourself. See, God preparing your feet. He's preparing the path before you. He's making you rich. You don't have, do you have three kids? Do you have kids? Do you have any kids?
Three kids.
How many kids? Three kids.
That's it's for Kyle.
Listen.
That's a prophecy for.
That's okay. She can take it if she wants it. That's what I say. You know what I'm saying? She's taking it.
I'm taking it too.
How many kids you got?
I lost one.
You got three?
I lost one.
And you lost one.
Yes.
So you had four together.
Two.
Two now.
Two now.
You know, are you done? Where's the wife? You know, are you done?
We want to have one more.
What do you want, a boy?
A boy.
Okay. Father, I thank you for the anointing that brings forth the child. God, I ask God, I wanted to say Zedekiah. I ask for little Zachariah or Zedekiah, whatever this child you're going to name him. And I call him forth a prophet. And I call him forth a man of God that will run in his father's shadow. And will carry the anointed. God, I know there's others, but God, I thank you, Lord, for the anointed upon the power of the blood of the Lamb that's upon his life and will be upon his children, upon his daughter, that she will shake the nations with her voice. She will shake the nations with her voice. Amen, amen. You got it, girls? Two girls, so you gotta have that boy. Amen. Africa, you have 13 boys, you get a farm. Oh, man, seven boys. Yeah, it's a good word for you. It's a good one. Oh, hallelujah. I've gotta be fast. What time do we have to be out of here? It's 12 or 5.
Yeah, start. We're coming in and moving it now.
Okay, let me move fast. This word we give today has been very prophetic. I know God's touching that woman. I know this lady here, you're full of Jesus. I know everybody's full of Jesus in here. But I just see the Spirit calling you. And I just see, it's like everything you do in excellence. You do it all in excellence. And you just cover everything. You do the cross the T's, dot the I's, make it happen. You can decorate to perfection. The hand of God's put that ability in you, that artistic ability. You see things for what it is, for its reality. And you make it good. Even better than it was. I just see God just calls you just to display things. And I just see the hand of God on you because you display his love, okay? You display his love. This little sweet Asian lady next to you, full of Jesus, full of Jesus. Isn't she full of Jesus?
Joy.
Joy, joy, joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, you know? If you put your hands on your belly right now, put your hands on your belly, say joy.
Joy.
I know you're in there. Come out. Did you get it? But you are a joy. You are a joy. Do you have a son, Joy?
Well, there's son Michael.
Son Michael. Where is Michael?
San Francisco.
I knew California. As soon as I say I knew. But we ask God to move in Michael's life. We ask God to do a mighty work in Michael's life.
Amen. Lisa and the grin and the soul.
All of them. All of them. We ask the Spirit of God to come. I've been ministering a little bit amongst the Chinese. Ni hao.
Yeah.
Ni hao. Yes, why?
Yes. And I've been ministering a lot with the Chinese in I don't know what city it is. It's over there somewhere over the rainbow. But I just speak life. It's like I see you and I see all these fish around you. And I see that they just eat from your hands. They eat from your spirit. God says he's put people around you to eat from your spirit because you have the word of the Lord to give out, okay? These are just mundane little prophecies I'm giving right now. I know when it's the prophetic. Don't I? Carol. You have a young mom. Don't worry. I'm not going to prophesy you're going to have a baby. It'll be okay. But I am going to tell you this. I see this huge, boring piece of boring equipment, and it's boring into the ground. And the Lord says, daughter, don't you know you've already discovered the oil? Don't you know that you've already got the oil? Don't you see that it has gushed and it's gushed? And the enemy tried to come at one point and even stop it up. But the Lord says, the well has opened up. The well is gushing now. There's a fresh oil and a fresh fire that's coming out of your spirit and even out of your ministry. And the Lord says, I see it flying out. I see it just springing up out of the ground. And I see people that's been around you and that you've ministered to. And they're like stars in the sky that just spread out all over. It's like seeing a rocket go off and release stars, a starburst. And the Lord says, those are the men and women of God that the Lord says, you've carried their spirit. You've carried them in my anointing. You've released them in my thoughts. So the Lord says, think not, well, what am I to do now? But no, I am in the plan of the Most High God that I have done, and I have seasoned, and I've been seasoned, and I've sown, and I've reaped. But the Lord says, there's more to reap. And God says, now, I place people around you that are released to run with that fire and that anointing that I gave in you, and even to prophesy and declare. And God says, there's apostles. I see several apostles that the Lord says, I brought across your path that have planted. And the Lord says their churches they're going to grow out of their churches. There's some that there's, I don't know what this is about, but I see this one apostle, and it's like his church has been in a drought. But God's getting ready to burst somebody's church open. It's going to grow, and it's going to overflow. And it's going to be because of the anointing of God and your prayers that you've prayed. You're going to receive people that you've apostolized, released by the fire of God. I don't know if you've ever apostled a church or what you've ever done other than this one, but I'm talking about others. Yes.
And I just said, church.
Well, I see.
I start.
It's getting rid of. It's going to grow. It's going to grow.
The Lord told me that I had started a new work here.
Yes.
When I moved here, I started a new work. But I started three churches.
Well, I see God, and a new well has opened up.
Amen.
New well. Maybe I'll take that well.
Amen.
You know, Deborah, I know I've spoken to you on the phone, but I tell you, Lord says, this is your season of maturity. This is your season of joy. This is your season of release, says God. Lord says, this is anything you want, ask of me, and I'll pour it into you, God says. Lord says, it's your season. And I just see God came, and he's doing a new work. But the Lord says, daughter, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all of wisdom. And you sought me, and you found me. And you never knew the half of what was going on around you. But God says, I sought, and I was dismayed. But the Lord says, I prevailed, and I put the angels round about you to keep you. And now the Lord says, I'm bringing you forth and bringing you out. And the Lord says, no longer in a catacomb of things that of worry or even fear, but released by the power of the blood to release into others. And you know what, Deborah, I hear the Lord says, write it down. Write it upon the tablets of your heart. Write the book, the Lord says, that I've given you. Because God says there's a book to be written. And you're going to say, the Lord has given me this word, and it's the time, it's the season, and I'm going to release it out of you. Hallelujah. And I loose the fire of God on you. Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, that in due season she's going to see the power of God displayed through her like she's never seen. Never seen. Amen. Amen. How do I do a few things? Is that okay? How you doing, Brother Blue Shirt back there?
Good.
You're a good man. Do you know that? You're a fireball.
Yeah.
You're a prayer warrior. You keep everything together. Did you know that?
I feel the weight of it.
Are you married?
Yes.
Yeah. Where's your wife? Is she here?
She's out of town.
That's okay.
Working.
So, she's. Well, somebody has to.
Yes.
Jesus. I see you. It's like, see you fishing. And there's this fish, and you go out with this fishing rod, and you throw it out there. You're like, why isn't the sinker moving like I want it to move? Why isn't the water moving like I want it to move? And I see the Lord saying, son, I'm getting ready to show you what it is to haul in the biggest hole you've ever seen. And I just see God just saying, I called you as a fisherman to bring in. And everything that she's bringing in this place, God says, you're part of it. You're a part of it. You're anointed to fish, says the Lord, for me. You're anointed to bring in. And you know, when I'm looking at this fish, I'm saying, God, why am I seeing him with these fit with this fishing line and he's bringing it in? And then I see you with the basket of fishes. And you're there to give out. Because at times you thought, what do I have to give? And God says, what you have to give is multiplication by my spirit. What you have to give is multiplied by my spirit. Okay? Never think you don't do much. You do all, says the Lord, in my name. And anybody who does it in my name is given forth with multiplication. Because anything you give, it multiplies. There's a ripple effect to the anointing.
Yes.
Do you know that? There's a ripple effect. I love the story. Everything God does is 3D. It's like, I'm going to tell my quick story. My quick story, and I'm done. I was supposed to go to Ireland this year, March. Getting ready to go. My cousin Bob Rogers calls me, wants me to meet an apostle named James Holbeth in Chicago. The Lord says to me, I call him, and the guy convinces me to cancel 2 of my 6 meetings in Ireland to come to a prophetic conference in Chicago. My cousin Bob kept saying, Robin, there's going to be prophets there, apostles from all over the world. It'll open the world for you. It'll open the doors. I nobody's ever opened the doors. Nobody does that. Maybe 2 people got me meetings. It's all been the Holy Ghost. And so I was all excited. I thought, wow, this will make my life a little bit easier. So it ended up, very quickly, it ended up that, let me think, how did it end up? It ended up, I called Ireland, I changed my dates. And I got 6 days down to 4 days. I got off the phone with Ireland, and I felt like I had a hairball of conviction in my throat. God said, I never told you to cancel those days, and I never told you to go to that conference. He said, you're going to Ireland. So I called James Holbeth, and I said, I'm sorry, I've got to come to Ireland. I'm coming to Ireland. I mean, I called James, said, I'm not coming to Chicago, I'm going to Ireland. So I go to Ireland, and the 6 meetings I'm having turns into 17 days of meetings. That's what happened. I was landing countries. Never think, just go. So I get in there, and by the 13th meeting, I'm asked, I'm going to leave out Scotland, because I went to Scotland in the midst of it. By the 13th meeting, I get a phone call, would you go meet a pastor? I said, well, you know, I'm flying into Scotland on Monday. I'm doing a meeting Monday night in Scotland, and then I'm flying back into Belfast on Tuesday. It was just a last, it was only 2 days I had open to do meetings, and Scotland had called. And God had woken me up in the night and said, you're going to Scotland. I didn't even know anybody in Scotland. It was a supernatural miracle. They called me on Facebook, you're on the side of the pond where you come to Scotland. You prophesied over 7 years ago. I was like, wow. So to make a long story longer, very quickly, I get back from Scotland on a Tuesday. I walk into a church to go meet a pastor that's been waiting to meet me. And when I walked into this church, there was almost 150 people in this church on a Tuesday night in Belfast, Ireland, which is like wonderful, a wonderful. And they introduced me as this prophet from South Africa. I got up to speak, and I said, well, actually, I'm not from South Africa. I'm from America. I live in Louisville, Kentucky. My cousin is Bob Rogers. We have a church there. And their mouths fell open. They got on FaceTime. And the next thing I know, I'm looking at the face of James Horvath. These were the prophets I was supposed to meet in Chicago before I left the country. But God had them waiting for me in Belfast, and they had no clue. And when they heard who I was, they said, you're the one James Holbeth said prophesied that whole conference that went on in Chicago. We've been trying to get a hold of you and meet you. And they had no idea. See, when you walk and operate by the things of God, you operate in divine appointments. I move in divine appointments. This is a divine appointment. I love it. I love the anointing. I love the presence of God. I'm getting ready to hand it back to her. The only thing I ask is that when you pray, you would pray for me, because I need all the prayer. I didn't ask you this, but I brought some support cards. If anybody wants to support my ministry, you can go on my website and do that. And it's been amazing. This is the best journey I've ever been on. And I know that this nation is moving by the Spirit of God. I know there's revival right now. I was telling them, we've heard about the West Virginia revival. Great move of God in West Virginia. Whole school, 1,400 kids get saved, now 4,000, now the whole town's saved. And in Indiana, I've been going into Indiana. Everywhere I'm going, I feel the current of the fire, the anointing of the movement of God. Indiana, the Amish got hit. Filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Too much on like you've never seen. Anywhere, I'm telling you, there's something happening. I'm just focusing. I'm supposed to go to Australia. God said, don't go to Australia, focus on America right now. And I'm focusing on South America and North America and Canada. I'm focusing on the surrounding nations. Canada just opened. I'm getting ready to go to Saskatoon. And I want you to know, they don't pay my fare. They don't pay for it. They'll pay. Some of the churches do help with hotels. I go by the Spirit, and I'm excited to say, look what the Lord has done. Amen. This is yours, Caroline. Thank you.